I think at this stage we're looking at trying to get some independent labour market testing, and I think that's the key. It's about genuine testing. We know that there's around 3,000 to 3,500 people unemployed in Tamworth now, out of a population of 60,000-odd. The unemployment rate's about 8.5%, but when it comes to youth unemployment, it's double that. And we know that there's around 50% of people working in the processing sector where we represent people are foreign workers. And this is, of course, not a xenophobic comment. It's we represent everyone equally. We engage visa workers ourselves with specialist linguistic skills. But our union's position is very clear. There should be preference of employment for our local kids. There needs to be career path opportunities within the meat processing sector. I'm a third generation meat worker myself, and I'm very, very proud to say where I come from and my background. What we want is our kids in Tamworth and within the New England region to have that career path. And at the moment, when you've got excessive 417 workers taking the lower skill positions and you've got 457 workers taking the skill positions, where is the career path for local people?
We often hear, you know, that local people just don't want these types of jobs. So you can't force people, though, into work they don't want to actually take on.
No, not at all, no. And that's the reason why we're in town for the next couple of days. We've got four officials in town. We've got a very, very large yellow bus. The AMIU bus is in town, parked in Peel Street at the moment. And we're collecting some genuine data on petitions from the unemployed to see whether they genuinely do want to work. So then we'll be able to show some hard facts to our local representatives and also our federal representatives to say, here are the real people. These people are not people that we've gone to the graveyard and got names from. These are real people that are here, and these people are looking for work and are willing to work in the meat processing or poultry processing sector.
So what kind of questions are you asking?
Well, are you unemployed? Right, that is the first question. Are you looking for a job? This is an industry that we say is a very, very good career path. It's an industry predominantly where Australians, if they don't want to continue to tertiary qualifications or seek tertiary qualifications, they can enter the meat processing sector and start in a follow-on labouring position and end up being a plant supervisor, end up being quality assurance manager, end up being an Australian Quarantine Inspection Service officer, working for the federal government. So it's a pretty good career path, I say. And the income's pretty good. The money's pretty good in our industry.
So what do you think some of the reasons are? Why don't you think maybe locals have this perception that working in the sector is not all that ideal a job?
I think it comes back to the education system at the moment. I know when I first started in the industry, there were no comments about that if you didn't go bad at school, you'd end up with the meatworks. But a lot of the feedback that I get now from educators, and I'm not having a crack at teachers here, but it seems that there's this drive for everyone to have a tertiary qualification. And I think over the last 10 years, that drive has genuinely failed. We have got trade shortages in certain areas. There is a downturn in people taking up apprentices because there's this perception that you receive a tertiary qualification and then you're going to get a $120,000 a year job. Well, that's just la-la land as far as we can see. Our industry pays between $58,000 to $70,000 for top-end scale positions. Entry-level jobs are around the minimum wage, around $35,000. Mm-hmm. There's a career path there, and we want employers, in particular within Tamworth, to look at our locals again and give them a chance.
What do the processes tell you about, I mean, why they are relying so heavily on 417? Why do they tell you they're having to bring in so many foreign workers?
I think the first question is about skill shortages. Within the meat processing sector, we've got a very, very good labour agreement, which was a tripartisan agreement that was negotiated back in 1998 when Amanda Vanstone was the immigration minister. That agreement virtually guaranteed minimum wages for skilled workers, being boner, slicer and slaughtering positions within the meat processing sector. And of course, that agreement also ensured that those workers would be employed directly with employers, as opposed to what is happening now within the labour market, where you've got indirect labour engagement, sham contracting, and you only have to see what the Ombudsman's report reflected about these disgraceful conditions and disgraceful exploitation of international workers under a deregulated visa. And the 417 visa is a deregulated visa. You do not have to be sponsored by an employer. You can create a $2 shelf company yourself as an international worker in 5 minutes in Australia and create your own business and not pay tax.
We're seeing the visa system cause other problems for other sectors now. Australia Post in the media in the last couple of days as well. Grant Courtney's with us, and he's from the Meat Industry Employees Union. He's in town with his yellow truck or yellow ute. You might see him down the street.
We say it's the good news van.
The good news van. Okay. When we talk about unskilled labour, what skills do you need to prove to find a job at a processors?
Well, most of the 417 workers that come to work in our industry don't have skills. They don't have skills. They don't have skills in the industry. You know, of course, they may have life skills, and most are tertiary qualified. Most of our international friends from Taiwan, from Hong Kong, and from mainland China that work in the sector are tertiary qualified people. But they see that the Australian meat processing sector is the highest minimum wage rate when it comes to backpackers. It's very, very easy for them to access a job because the jobs are generally organised back in Taiwan. We say the visa is a bit of a rort simply because it is not a holiday working visa. It is organised labour from other countries where they say you can come to Australia, we can guarantee you work for 6 to 12 months, you can give us $5,000 to $10,000 and we can assure you work. And we've got hard evidence of that, and we've provided that evidence to the Ombudsman.
And we've heard, I guess, the Tamworth Council is talking up, I guess, the potential for this region to be a really big meat processing region, and that for that to be the fundamental or the foundation industry in the area. They're looking at investment from China, they're looking at major new processing through Baiada, and maybe even a dairy processing plant in the region as well. So the kind of information that you're gathering, I mean, how fundamental will it be to ensuring that the local workforce is, I guess, also the foundation to building or filling the jobs created by any potential for an explosion or, you know, growth in that kind of sector?
Well, yeah. I think there's two points that you've raised there. One is the point about international investment. And, of course, our union has no problem with international investment as long as those international companies comply with Australian law. We don't want those other countries or sovereign nations to come in with their workers and then determine what they're going to pay them, which generally will be a drive to the bottom approach when it comes to wages and conditions for Australians. I suppose the second point is within the food processing sector. It's an industry that's actually growing, and like within our organisation, you know, like there are more people working in the industry now. There are plants being built. The industry has shrunk when it comes to enterprises' ownership. But the industry is growing. It's one section of the manufacturing sector, we say, where there's growth, in other sections when it comes to manufacturing, of course, there's a decline because of competition and because of free trade agreements that virtually take away Australian jobs. And it's not a good thing.
So from here, you're here for a couple of days gathering this data. How much do you need to make it a really worthwhile survey of the region?
If we can pick up, say, 100-odd signatures of unemployed people within Tamworth, I think that's a pretty good snapshot about that we have got concerns and people not having the ability to work. I only know with the discussions that we had yesterday at the Tees operations where we had meetings there, a lot of people come up to us and said, well, my girlfriend's applied for a job but she's not suitable, or my son's been looking for work, but it seems like he hasn't got the skills. Well, I didn't have the skills when I started working in the sector 35 years ago either. However, I was taught. And I think it's about getting back to that training approach, thinking about training, thinking about offering the job as a career path. And it's all about how you sell a job. And like, it is a good job. I say it's a good job. 135 years in my family of meat workers. I'm very, very proud to be one. And I think it can deliver security of employment into the future for regional kids.
So what impact can your petition, your survey, actually have on politicians and commercial operations?
I think it's just about us showing that when an employer says that we can't get Australian workers to work for us, and I say, well, here's a group of people that you can test and give them a chance. We understand there's concerns in relation to drug and alcohol testing. We understand that there's a huge ICE epidemic within most of regional Australia at the moment. It's a terrible epidemic within our youth. But we want employers to actually give some of these kids a chance. And it's not about saying that they have to bend the rules to engage them. I think it's about the testing with drug and alcohol testing is the first point. And I think the second point is that they should genuinely give them the one strike policy if they've got drug-related issues. give them a chance. Most Australian workers, whether you're Australian citizens, permanent residents, temporary international workers, are governed under the same law, the Fair Work Act, and employers have an ability to not engage workers for up to 12 months. In other words, they've got an unfair dismissal veto. We cannot go an employer for sacking a worker within 12 months. So they've got that 12-month testing program, and that's been put in place for a long time now, where they can see if the worker's okay. You know, if they're a bit rough around the edges, you know, they can performance manage them, but of course, give them a chance. That's what we're asking.
Have you tried this in any other regions?
No, we've actually just started, rolled it out here, and I thought we'd target Tamworth simply because there's three major companies. There is a huge chunk of international engagement here, and as I said, it's not a xenophobic comment. We welcome everyone in the industry, but there needs to be a preference. And I think the data that we receive will be eye-opening for the processes. The discussions that I've already had with Thomas Foods International and also with Beata Poultry about local engagement, he said it seems very, very promising. What we want is the people to come forward. I can't talk about people looking for work if we don't have the real data.